Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
A little bit of trivia about today. Apparently, this is the date that Skynet became self-aware in the Terminator 2
No.
film. How good is that? Thanks for nothing, Miles Bennett Dyson.
Look, this is a scary thing because it all goes downhill pretty quickly when it comes aware.
I think Thursday that means it should all go significantly downhill.
All right, well, you get, you know, rolling coverage of that here on Hope. We'll look after you. We'll tell you what's going on.
As long as we're not taken out by the blast wave.
Yeah, that's the point. Mm. Well, we are in Seven Hills, so we're pretty safe in that sense.
Yeah, that's
true. And we're
true.
In the middle of, we're in the, like, the centre of the building from that perspective, but anyway.
You know, people crowding us as a bunket now.
That's a point. We're not really that secure. It's not that great. All right, so...
You bring the canned goods. I'll bring the big containers of water.
All right. Lots of chocolate too, please. That's often missed in those emergency ration packs. So.
I'm always hoping there's deodorant in them as well.
Please, yes.
Well, I've been huddled in with the cows.
Yes.
Knee-deep in straw.
I'm glad you said straw.
Yeah. I've been down at the Easter show finding out what's making memories for the kids this year.
The rides and going to see animals.
What animals did you see?
We saw horses and we saw this big, massive cow.
And how about you? What's your favourite been?
All the rides. Probably the Mega Drop was my favourite. It was pretty scary. You feel really airborne.
Ooh. My favourite thing today was Speed. It was a ride.
Yeah.
It's where you, like, flip around and then you go upside down as well. Ooh. It's like spin. Yeah, it's really fun.
My favourite's been seeing all the animals. Yeah, the petting nursing zoo. You got to see the lambs, the goats, the donkeys, ducks and some cows. Cattle dogs. They were like little puppies.
And how about you? What's been the best thing you've seen today?
Show bag.
What sort of show bag did you get?
Family Guy.
Really? So what's in that?
A whoopee cushion, a towel, a bag, a hat. You can put water into it. And you can suck it through here.
So you've got a big straw hanging off your head.
My favourite's probably been the cliffhanger. It's where you're like on a hang gliding and you go up and down and round in a circle.
Uh-huh. Okay, and who's been the best behaved today?
Alex, me.
And who's been the naughtiest?
Cameron's
been the naughty. Unanimous vote for poor old Cameron there.
I didn't know those hats were for drinking water out of. You know where you put your drink in your
house?
Naughty. I didn't realise they were for. Oh, wow. That
they are when
a good
you're
idea.
Six.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's good.
Anything
that's good.
You can suck through your hat has got to be a good thing.
I suppose so.
I feel like I need to make an apology on behalf of my state of origin.
Oh. Wow.
Cane toads have been making their way south.
That's been happening for a while, and we try and kick them back over the border, but they just keep coming down.
With your golf club?
Yep.
The preferred method? No. Oh. No, it's not. But it had got to the point in the Sutherland Shire where it had gone from a few sightings, and it was like, oh, they've hitched down in people's car tyres or something, you know, where there were so many sightings, the council had to admit there was breeding going on somewhere.
Oh.
That's pretty terrifying because they are foul. They're poisonous to other animals. They're really destructive and they just breed so quickly. Awful things. So before you do, you know, grab the golf club or the battery acid and, you know, get the team together for in your camo gear for the hunting outing, the Shire Council there's totally onto it. They were getting people to report sightings. They stepped it up and had a volunteer toad muster.
Mm-hmm.
No golf clubs, very humane.
Good.
I think they do the catch and freeze. I think that's the preferred humane method.
Freeze?
I think so. They just go to sleep in a nice chilly environment. And then they trained a Labrador to sniff them out. They had a sniffer dog for the toads.
Okay.
And then they brought the boffins in. University of Sydney scientists attached radio tracking devices to a few of the toads, and they tracked them within a couple of days back to their lair. They found the toady lair with the guns and the cash lying around and the plush carpets and everything, you know. But they've killed about 500 of the things. They've got rid of 500 toads out of the Sutherland Shire, but they found them in this pond. And looks like they've nipped it in the bud.
Oh, but I bet you some of the leaders had escape pods.
Oh, did
they escape?
The Queensland Floods Commission of Inquiry's got the daunting task of sorting through the wreckage of the disasters there in January and working out what blame falls where and what processes can be put in place to better handle unexpected weather events in the future. Now, Jeff Bruce is from 7 News in Brisbane. He's been following this event along. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for chatting with us this morning.
Morning, guys. Pleasure.
Now, yesterday was a very big day in the flood inquiry, wasn't it? Can you tell us what's been happening?
It was. Look, last week the flood inquiry was down in Brisbane, dealing primarily with the operation of Wivenhoe Dam and the floods that came from that and affected Brisbane and Ipswich. But in the last 2 days, it's been up in Toowoomba, looking at the flash flooding that occurred there on the 10th of January. And two people died in that flash flood in Toowoomba, Donna Rice and her 13-year-old son, Jordan. Yesterday, they played the triple O calls that Donna and Jordan made when their car became stuck and they were there in that car with Jordan's younger brother, Blake. The first of these calls was about 8 or 9 minutes to 2 o'clock when the car had just become trapped. Donna rings and speaks to a police officer who immediately, you can tell from listening to the call, is frustrated with the fact that she's stuck in floodwaters, and three times over the course of this conversation as she's trying to get help, says, "Why'd you drive into floodwaters?"
Oh.
Senior Constable Jason Wheeler has subsequently said that he'd only been in the radio room for 3 weeks and that in that short period of time he'd become very frustrated with drivers getting stuck in floodwaters. But when she asked him to get a tow truck for her, he said she could do that herself. He was too busy dealing with other calls that were coming in.
Hindsight's powerful, isn't it?
It is. And then 7 minutes later comes this second call from young Jordan, and the calm demeanour that Donna had displayed earlier has gone completely, and you can unfortunately just hear the panic and the terror in their voices. You can hear his mother's voice in the background saying the water's coming into the car, and they are pleading with the fire officer who they speak to on this occasion to get them help, and she says, "We'll get someone to you right away." And then you can just hear them saying, "Get on the roof, get on the roof. How are we going to get on the roof?" And then at the end of the call, when they must be on the roof of the car, the only thing you can hear is just the deafening roar of water around them.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It was. So the inquiry today moves to Dalby up on the Darling Downs to look at what's occurred there in the flooding. It then moves around a lot of the state to the southwest to St George and Gundawindi, up north to places like Rockhampton and Emerald. At this stage, its goal is to have a preliminary report together by the beginning of August for next summer, for the next potential wet season, and that'll advise on things like, should they reduce the drinking water capacity in Wivenhoe Dam so that it's got more room to store floodwaters should floods occur again, and looking at issues like that. In the second half of the year, they'll then move on to other things like insurance and land use.
Right.
To look at issues like what should people be insured for? Should there be a standard definition of flood insurance? And should there be places that have been flooded now as they were in 1974 that simply aren't resettled again?
And can this make the insurance companies pay out?
Well, for this event, probably not. One other interesting thing that came up last week with the operation of Wivenhoe Dam is that there's an operations manual for Wivenhoe that says at what water level what they have to do and at what point they go from trying to protect Brisbane to trying to just save the security of the dam and stop it collapsing. It was revealed last week that if they stick to that book, if they do everything by the book, the operators of the dam are immune from legal action. And the issue here would be, if there are people whose homes were flooded who aren't covered by insurance, they would not then have the option of suing SEQ Water, the operators of the dam, if they've done everything by the book.
Oh, so what does it mean to the people of Queensland to have this inquest and to get their voices heard in there?
Oh, it's immensely important. And when you look online on the Commission's website, the number of submissions from all across the state that have been made on any variety of issues relating to what happened through the end of December and the beginning of January, there's just a huge number of submissions. It'll be very interesting to see what comes out in the Commission's report in August, and then at the beginning of next year when their final report comes out, in terms of insurance issues, in terms of where people can build again, and, you know, what, if anything, could be done to prevent something like this occurring again.
Thank you so much for your time, Jeff.
It's a pleasure, guys.
It's such a significant part of our lives these days, and this is a guy who helps us navigate it, the web guy, Andrew Morris.
Very nice to be with you. It's awesome to be with you, and such a nice, beautiful day as well. It's just great. Lots happening in the world of technology, guys. Lots happening, including Apple. And it's just come out that the Wall Street Journal has announced that Apple is going to be is suing Samsung Electronics for copying the look and feel of its iPad, tablet, and iPhone smartphone.
Oh,
of course.
Please.
Okay, right.
It relates to Samsung's Galaxy S 4G. And basically saying that it sort of bears more than a passing resemblance to the iPhone G3G. Anyway, what they're saying is it's an infringement on intellectual property. Rather than innovate and develop its own technology and a unique Samsung style for its smartphone products and computer tablets, Samsung has chosen to copy Apple's technology, user interface, and innovative style in these infringing products. So that's the case that they're putting to it. So we'll see what happens with that, but that's a huge one.
Mm.
There's rumours already about iPhone 5.
Really? What's going to change?
So it looks like now apparently Engadget.com is reporting with one of their insiders in China saying that it's going to be the same body, unchanged body, but and the same processor as the iPad 2, but the camera's going out to, up to 8 megapixels.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be an improved antenna, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's looked like it will go into production in September.
So, not faster?
Same processor, A5 processor as the iPad 2.
They're so bulky looking, though. They're so bulky.
I've got to say, I'm having a lot of fun with my Android phone this week.
Good on you.
I know,
man.
I'm sort of getting some idea of how to use it. Now, if you're a video editor, you like your video cameras and stuff, then some really promising news as well, because Apple's unveiled Final Cut Pro X, which is their top-of-the-line video editing suite, which usually is over $1,000, basically unaffordable for the average Joe. Anyway, the news is that it's possibly going to be on sale for $299 US.
Whoa!
As opposed to the above $1,000 mark.
We'll still pay $1,000 over here, won't we?
Probably.
Possibly. Mm. But look, it's got a whole lot of new features, and that is a massive price drop. If that is true,
right?
Yeah. And in the hands of just, you know, your average domestic video person, how cool
it's
is that?
It's exciting to see more and more movies just getting done guerrilla style. People just making their own film and it ending up getting a box office release. There's been some good stuff.
And I love going to concerts these days. The old cigarette lighters have been replaced by mobile phones. You know, like just crowds of mobile phones. And no one watches concerts. They watch concerts through their smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, you know. The other night at the New World Sun, Sean McDonald's concert, same thing in Article 1. Lots of glowing screens of smartphones.
Hundreds of people watching a concert through a little screen.
Isn't it funny? Because it's not about what you experience, it's about what you capture.
Yeah, people not enjoying the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, finally, New York Times have got a great little gadget page, and they've given some tips on cleaning lenses the right way.
Okay.
I've had a few people throw their brand new cameras at me this week going, look, I've just got this brand new camera, and I go, wow, that's really cool. So this is timely. So anyway, mm-hmm. the suggestions are use an air blower. Not something that's got gas and throws chemicals
not
at it.
Not this one on the front of my face with the two lips attached to it?
I'll get back to that.
Okay.
So anyway, one of those little rocket blower things, either use a brush, secondly, but don't touch your fingers on the brush bristles because you'll put oils onto it.
Okay.
Third, microfiber cloth. And finally, you could use a solution with an alcoholic solution kind of thing. You could breathe onto it and then wipe it with a microfiber cloth.
That's okay?
Yes.
There's an app I got for my phone. It takes your heartbeat and you put your finger on the camera lens. That's how it gets it. So that's completely wrong.
No, yeah, that's not allowed.
It actually accurately gets your heartbeat from pushing your finger on the
camera. That's on your phone.
Yeah. But that's not good for the lens, obviously.
No, but that's quite cool. It's amazing, the world of apps. Anyway, that's technology for this week. I'll join you next week, I think.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.